Well, comrades, we've arrived at the end of yet another week. It's Friday, February 25th. And as you know, Fridays on Freedom Frenzy mean Frenzied Friday. That's where you, the listener, if you're going to do your job, that is, that's where you, the listener, go to the phones and literally try to wear Jenny and I out with topics that you count as important. Maybe you want to discuss some things that that we talked about or guests that we had on the program, and or you just want to unload and you're looking for somebody to unload on. Now, we're willing to deal with most anything that you want to bring to the table. And all I want you to do, and all Jenny would rather you do, is just keep a civil tongue in your head. We're all supposed to be adults.
Speak for yourself, Jerry. I love the snide, snarky, snotty booger flickers.
You can diss somebody and do it without getting ugly. Without getting ugly, you know. And you know, the neat thing, dear, is you and I don't see eye to eye on everything. As a matter of fact, I'm really glad that we don't, because we would get kind of boring after a while, and those little times that we have that little bit of friction, and it's...
My blood pressure
goes up, your blood pressure goes up, because I can imagine those times that I've seen you get red-faced with me before.
Oh, Jerry, I love working with you.
I don't do bad for an old fart, do I? All right. Babe, I've got a lot of leftover news stories from yesterday that we didn't get to, and I want to try to work those in, but I also have, I guess, a soliloquy or a commentary about what's going on in Wisconsin.
Oh, that's so fun, because I was going to talk about Wisconsin, but I think a soliloquy from Jerry's point of view would be fun.
Okay, well, let's do that, if you don't mind. Can we do that at the front end of Hit and Run News when we come back?
Absolutely.
It's got legs.
Oh, good. Yes, by all means. Take it away.
All right. Yeah, it's really kind of strange there. There's a lot going on in Wisconsin that apparently isn't making it out there in front of mainstream America because the media isn't doing much talking about it. So we'll pick that up when we do the Hit and Run News segment. What's going on in the Hodges household?
Well, John's back in town. That was exciting. And yesterday I had a pounding headache all day. I woke up with the same pounding headache today, but I decided to fortify myself with 4 Advil, which has taken the edge off and enabled me to put my little children's nose to the grindstones. So they are sawing away on their instruments, and man, it's a beautiful day. Yesterday was gorgeous. I mean, it's sundress weather. I'm so excited.
Yes, it's everything in the yard is starting to offer to bud, and we walked out and looked at some of the fruit trees this morning before we drove into work. And it's more fun looking at the fruit trees than it is even contemplating going to work nowadays. But and they're all on the verge of saying, "Hey, it's springtime. Let's get busy," and we're really excited about that.
How's the weather in Georgia right now?
It's beautimous. We had a little bit of overcast and a little bit of rain last night, but today it is just literally beautimous out there. And you know, that's one of the nice things about living a little further south than a lot of our listeners do. And I'm talking to you people up there in Canada. The Earth is fixing to come forth with all its bounty, and you guys up there still have all that white stuff on the ground. I feel sorry for you. I really do. And I've lived in that. And I can appreciate the drudgery, the misery, the black, cruddy, dirty snow that accumulates on the side of the roads. And you can have it. You can have it. From Jerry to you, it's all yours. Take it and run with it.
Yeah, I have to say, Jerry, I'm really loving Texas' idea of winter, which is about 8 weeks of cold, and then, you know, we're pretty much done.
Really, it's just 8 weeks, huh?
Seems like it. I could be wrong, but that's what it seems like. I guess we're going to cut away to a break now. When we come back, Hit and Run News, Wisconsin is front and center on that agenda, so y'all don't want to miss today. Stay with us.
Extend your life.
When I had a heart attack at 42, I was not sure what the future held. But a year later, the doctors could find nothing wrong with me and took me off all my medication. What did I do? I took a herbal mixture of garlic, cayenne, and a few other herbs mixed in liquid form. I now call this Extendovite. I would have never believed that a few simple herbs could actually change my life like they did. Now it's your turn to see what the powers of garlic and cayenne can do for you. For only $69.95 plus shipping and handling for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid, you too can begin on your path to better health. For more information, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
In times like these, you can't depend on the government to keep you warm and fed, but you can depend on the Vermont Bun Baker to do just that. With a Vermont Bun Baker, you'll never be in a situation where you can't cook, bake, fry, boil water, or heat your home all at the same time. One of the most revolutionary cook stoves, wood stoves ever, the Vermont Bun Baker is available with or without soapstone veneer, a natural stone that retains heat and radiates it back into the room once the fire is out. A beautiful addition to your home, the Vermont Bun Baker has an efficiency rating well above 75% and qualifies for the wood stove tax credit. For more information, watch the Vermont Bun Baker on YouTube and live stream or visit us at www.vermontwoodstove.com. You can also reach us by calling 1-866-SOAPSTONE. Don't ever be hungry or cold because the power's gone out. With a Vermont Bun Baker, all you have to worry about is what's for dinner.
Attention RBN listeners, the Freeze-Dry Guy, providing the finest in long-term storage food since 1970. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. In actual scientific tests, these foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. These foods are delicious tasting, hearty, light to carry, and easy to prepare under the most adverse conditions. Unfortunately, many people building a family food storage program, as well as many companies providing emergency feeding programs, simply do not give you enough protein, especially animal protein. No other food satisfies like animal protein during stressful times. If you're a meat eater, you will definitely want our freeze-dried meats and entrees, but we do offer vegetarian items as well. Visit freezedryguide.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. Freeze-dry.
All right, babe, have you been, and I guess you have, you've been watching this passion play of sorts that's been going on in Madison, the capital of Wisconsin. You know, the one where the governor is attempting to end the collective bargaining, amongst other things, for the public employees there.
Yep.
You've been paying attention. Okay, okay. Well, I must tell you that from what I've seen or read about the situation up there, it really has all the elements of a made-for-TV movie. Maybe even a mini-series, as the end of the story hasn't been told just yet. Wisconsin, like a great many other states, is in some of that financial hot water. Stories that we've talked about here on Freedom Frenzy and warned you that this kind of stuff was on the horizon. The governor there, a man by the name of Scott Walker and a Republican, has been pressing for changes that would make state workers contribute more to health insurance and pensions, end government collection of union dues, let workers opt out of unions, and require unions to hold recertification votes every year. Quite frankly, in brass tacks terms, the governor of Wisconsin is actually involved in union busting. Now, I'm not too interested in getting into an argument about the pros and cons of unions, their historical significance, either good or bad. But I do think one point deserves to be brought to the forefront, even in light of the situation in Madison, Wisconsin, and especially in view of the fact that there are other states closely watching the events going on there in Wisconsin, because they too are in similar financial straits. The point I want to make, and it's really a quite simple one, is that one of the foundational concepts of a free people is the ability to enter into lawful contracts, and those would include all of the trappings associated with collective bargaining. Given that, one can only wonder why Wisconsin, and other states for that matter, have chosen to draw their line in the sand in a manner that would lead a passerby to believe that they weren't complicit in creating the very situation now that they're trying to unilaterally change. Further, and I don't want to open this can of worms either. I only want to kind of shake it up and peek inside for just a moment. We all know what is behind the economic problems we face as a people and as a country. Wisconsin, just like its 49 other equals, has criminally allowed the immoral and unconstitutional monetary system to exist, and now they, too, are reaping the reward. We cannot be too hasty in our judgment as to which party deserves the overarching liability here. Each has, and has had, unbridled greed, and in the case of the state and the power structure there, the power lust that exists at the core of its actions. Now, back to the soap opera. As I said earlier, Wisconsin is searching for any and all ways to cut outlays. This is what people and businesses must do and will do when faced with economic reversals. I don't know to the extent to which the same administration has gone, nor of any efforts in the state legislature to reduce the footprint of government there inside the state of Wisconsin. And you know, that's a measurement that's oftentimes overlooked insofar as the legitimacy of any claims that government is really trying to do the right thing by the people and to shrink government, which is supposed to be the new Tea Party created mantra of the Republican Party, if you want to believe that. I'm not sold on that idea myself just yet. And you know, we've seen this very same sort of crud being done right here in Georgia, although Georgia is not embroiled in a collective bargaining situation. They've been deciding on how best to shake down the people rather than reduce the footprint of government. Right now, Democrats in the Wisconsin legislature have, according to some news reports, left the state to avoid participation in that debate and to make sure that there are insufficient numbers to reach a quorum so the government really can't act or vote or do whatever they need to do. Wisconsin state troopers have been dispatched to find these people, even though they lack the authority to haul them back to the Capitol. I guess they were going to put them on notice or go up there and, gotcha, we found you, or something like that, but that's beside the point. Meanwhile, the Capitol grounds are under siege by union workers, their families, and other supporters in an ongoing protest against what's going on inside the State House. The governor's desired legislation has been passed by the Assembly, or the State House body, and has been sent on to the State Senate, where those truant Democratic state senators, those being sought by the state troopers, are not in attendance. Reports from that quarter are that they feel, that's the state senators feel, as though they are actually doing their duty by staying away. But there's another subplot, or maybe another human interest aspect here. Just this morning, I learned of a pizza parlor nearby to the state capitol that is receiving literally thousands of pizza orders from every corner of the world. The pizza is being ordered, bought, and paid for by supporters of the demonstrators as a symbol of unity with those outside the Capitol in protest. Some would have you think that this issue is clear-cut. There are other undercurrents here that for some reason haven't been getting much exposure through the media. Here's one that I ran across yesterday. Like the federal government, the state of Wisconsin has taken monies previously set aside by the state for the provision for both health care and pensions for state employees that they are due by contract, and added that funding that they had collected and set aside to the state's general fund. I understand now that those funds also included contributions from those same state employees. The problem here is Wisconsin has spent all of the money. It's gone. They're undercurrent here, and it could prove to get quite nasty, is that the state of Wisconsin, led by Governor Walker, may be attempting this union-breaking action to forestall actions against the state for what must be beginning to appear as minimally financial malfeasance and maximally fraud. Things are seldom what they seem to be on TV, are they, dear? Back to you.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Well, I have a couple different stories here that I thought were interesting, but my issue with prenatal murder, of course, I think I'm going to do this Virginia story that came from My Way News. In Richmond, Virginia, there is a push to require abortion clinics to meet up to the same standards as hospitals have to meet in order to perform first trimester abortions, which are predominantly vacuum aspiration abortions. Governor Bob McDonnell, a Republican and Catholic, supports the measure, and when he signs it into law, Virginia will become the first state to require clinics that provide first trimester abortions to meet the same standards as hospitals. What does that mean? These kind of requirements, Jerry, mean the there has to be extensive structural changes to clinics, widening hallways to increase access with ambulance equipment into the hallways. You have to have elevators. You can't have women walking up and down stairs after this very invasive surgery that a prenatal murder requires, and so on and so forth. Now, this is, of course, the type of thing that can be passed regulatory code. It doesn't require an act of the legislature to do this sort of thing. In fact, in Georgia, the Department of Health and Human Services has the authority to require all these types of things of the abortion clinics. And they just look the other way when it comes to the abortion clinics of Georgia. So right now there are 21 abortion clinics in Virginia. Just passing this bill will immediately close the doors of 17 of those 21 clinics because the clinics are so unsafe and not properly structured. And so it would require a massive amount of money in order to bring the buildings up to code so that they could comply with this bill. It's kind of interesting because there's no move to outlaw prenatal murder at all. Everyone is simply saying, we're just trying to make prenatal murder safe for mothers. And the executive director of NARAL, Pro-Choice Virginia, is furious about this because she's saying, this is not about safety for women. It's about ideology. It's about politics. And women are going to be left to suffer. Which I love the fact that it's pointing out that these pro-abortion people are not interested in safe standards for women. And if you ever went to these abortion clinics, Jerry, in Georgia, you would be appalled at the filth and the crummy conditions in a lot of these clinics. It's just crazy. And plus, they pat you down when you walk in the door. You're not allowed to take your person. You can't have any. They want to make sure you don't have any filming equipment. You can't bring your cell phone. Of course, you can't bring your other children. And it is a lockdown, pat-down procedure that really is kind of eerie and overwhelming, I think, to a lot of nervous women.
I can imagine.
So this looks like the first real effort to get rid of abortion clinics in Georgia. And anti-abortion bills do typically die in their Democrat-controlled Senate committee, but Republicans in the House tacked it onto a bill that had already passed the Senate. Doing so allowed the bill to sidestep the committee and forced a vote on the Senate floor where Democrats hold a 22-18 majority. Two anti-abortion Democrats voted with Republicans, and Lieutenant Governor Bill Bowling, a Republican, cast the tie-breaking vote after hours of debate. So it will become law in July. Then the State Health Board will take public comments before issuing the guidelines. And that board is appointed by the governor. And I think the ultimate point here is that... Yep, legislators want to get things done, they do. This is Freedom Frenzy. We'll be back in a moment.
Have you heard? Proactiv is new and better than ever. Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway, and you'll also receive free shipping. Do you have troubled skin, acne? Well, we have great news. With New Proactiv, your acne can heal and you can prevent new breakouts from happening. Be one of the first to try it by giving us a call at 1-800-635-1053. Because we're going to let a million people try New Proactiv risk-free. Get two free gifts and also receive free shipping when you call right now. You heard it. Be one of the first to try new and better than ever Proactiv, and you'll receive a 60-day risk-free trial of the new Proactiv, two free extras, and free shipping when you call 1-800-635-1053. This is our best radio offer ever. Get your risk-free 60-day trial of new Proactiv plus free shipping. That's right, free shipping. This offer won't last long. Call 1-800-635-1053. That's 1-800-635-1053.
What really gets in the way of your goals and dreams? Time? Money? Education? Well, if it's all of the above, Ashworth College is for you. Ashworth can help you achieve your goals by letting you study at your own pace, online, anywhere, anytime. Your computer is your classroom. With programs as low as $39 a month, Ashworth College is one of the most affordable online schools out there. Just $39 a month. Plus, Ashworth offers over 100 nationally accredited college programs, such as criminal justice, healthcare, technology, and business. You could earn as much as $300,000 more than those without an associate's degree. No high school diploma? Well, Ashworth even offers high school completion programs. So call an Ashworth Career Advisor right now, toll free at 1-866-504-8173. That's 1-866-504-8173. Or go to ashworthtraining.com.
Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous base metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, metal expansion, and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog filters, pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate upon itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphites. Also offers the tremendous benefits of being non-toxic. It's used for friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
All right, comrades, this is Frenzied Friday. We're looking forward to talking with you, and to get that started, you need to go to your phones and punch out. Yes, punch out, 800-313-9443. You know, as we're watching what's going on in Libya, I can't help but believe that the United States Army is taking a page out of the Gaddafi playbook. And by that I mean the United States Army is planning to equip machine guns with rubber bullets. Military officials claim that that ammunition will allow them to more effectively quell violent protests without loss of life. I wonder if they know something that we all know now, too, that things aren't like they ought to be in America, and the likelihood of those violent protests is growing daily. I'm thinking. What do you think? But human rights campaigners are alarmed by the prospects of this new weapon. The final design for the XM-1044 round has not been selected, according to an order placed on the Federal Business Ops website last month. But the Army's Joint Non-Lethal Weapons Directorate, God, they love those titles, don't they?
Yeah.
Has been working on a ring aerofoil projectile for some years. This round is a hollow plastic cylinder 40 millimeters across, looking something like a short toilet paper roll. In flight, its shape generates lift, providing longer range. Angela Wright of Amnesty International says that firing rapidly at long range is likely to be dangerously inaccurate. Such a weapon system would allow for a burst of non-accurate fire at a crowd with high risks of hitting bystanders, ricocheting, and of hitting vulnerable parts of the body. You think? Despite being hollow and plastic, if a round were to strike someone in the head, it would and could severely injure or kill them. What do you think about that, dear?
I think it's crazy.
Well, you know, at some point, just like what's going on in Libya here, the will of the people, it's going to come to the fore.
Yeah.
Because as we've talked about, you know, once the people disengage from government and no longer participate, just basically turn their backs on it peacefully, government will tend to shrivel up and dry and blow away.
Yes.
Now,
yeah, we empower them because it's all color of law. It's all bells and whistles and smoke. And as long as we just submit and go along to get along, they will continue to reign over us. But as soon as we simply disengage, they're left fumbling. They don't really know what to do with us.
Mm-hmm. Have you ordered Larkin Rose's new book?
I haven't. We've been on such a tight budget, frankly.
Yeah.
That all extracurricular spending has pretty much come to an end. And my husband was praising me the other day because we have really cut spending, even though the cost of living in Austin has been higher for us than it was back in Kennesaw.
Mm.
But I haven't bought any of the books on my list to buy.
Okay, well, his book, I ordered it the other day. It arrived. And I started to read it, and Elaine's commandeered it. But that's all right.
Tell her to put it on the back of the toilet. That way everybody can read it.
I did receive Dave Champion's book. He did send us a copy of it.
Oh,
and I've started reading that. I guess that's why Elaine had the opportunity to commandeer Larkin Rose's book.
So I'm interesting that Dave kind of was down on the Cracking the Code book. And John and I have tried reading that book several times. And it is just so boring. You cannot get through it. So,
I've read it, you know, and I think it's a matter of interest, and you would also need to have a little bit of prior exposure to some of the things that he's talking about, because if you didn't, the revelations that Hendrickson puts out in his books wouldn't mean a whole lot to you, and I guess that the consequence of that would be that it would appear boring.
Okay. Yeah, that might be fair.
Okay. Well,
is it my turn?
Indeed it is.
Sweet. I have a food story here that's really fun. You know, Georgia should be leading the way toward food safety and security because of Bobby Franklin's bill, the Georgia Right to Grow bill, and other bills that he has pushed forward, which the Republicans don't even give a hearing in the committees anymore, of which Bobby has been a longstanding member. It's crazy the amount of persecution he's under. But unfortunately, the ones leading the way are Texas, Oregon, Minnesota, New Jersey, Massachusetts, and Wisconsin. All these states have pending legislation to legalize raw milk sales, relax sales restrictions that make buying raw milk difficult, or, for the first time, decriminalize raw milk sales with restrictions. And, of course, it's kind of a mixed bag, Jerry, when it comes to this raw milk situation, because once they legalize raw milk, a lot of times it's under so much regulation, yeah, that it's very hard to get – it's still difficult to get the raw milk.
Mm-hmm.
But I think this is really great in light of the fact that the FDA has aggressively been targeting raw milk. Most particularly raw milk cheese. Uh-oh. Are we heading away to a break? I guess we are.
It sounds like it.
Yep. Y'all get to join us. You can talk about whatever you want. Jeff, if you want to bring up that topic you've called in the last couple days, today is a good day to call in and bring it up and discuss it. This is Frenzied Friday, 1-800-313-9443. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Do you need help getting your child to behave? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman, and I'm willing to give away thousands of my best-selling total transformation programs for free. All you do is tell us how the program works for you and your family. Did it turn around your child's behavior? Did the screaming and arguing stop in your home? Is he doing better in school? The total transformation has helped hundreds of thousands of families. I want to see what it can do for you, and I'm willing to let you have it for free. Just order my program, use it with your child, then send me your feedback. I'll refund the purchase price of the program. You keep the Total Transformation Program forever, for free. You don't have to struggle with your child's bad behavior one more day, because now you can try my Total Transformation, and the program will be free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
Estrogen dominance, a brand new 20th century disease. A phrase coined by Dr. John R. Lee 35 years ago. Dr. Lee proved that all the estrogen that is coming from food and water is having a devastating effect on our health. The rapid rise in breast cancer, uterine cancer, prostate cancer, weight gain, osteoporosis, feminizing of our boys, and early puberty of our girls, and also the destruction of natural killer cell function. Natural killer cells are our only protection from cancer and viral infection. Dr. Lee found that using natural progesterone, about 20 milligrams per day, would not only reverse osteoporosis, but would greatly reduce the cancer issues, as well as dozens of other health challenges we face today. Visit our website, healthlinkamerica.com, to order the DVD on hormone imbalance. Learn how hormone imbalance destroys the immune system and get started on natural progesterone and Cyto-S. It will not only change your life, it may in fact save your life. Once again, that website is healthlinkamerica.com.
Introducing the new Go Berkey Kit, the first of its kind portable water purification system for those on the go. The new Go Berkey system has an amazing output of about a gallon an hour. Each Go Berkey Kit includes a 1-quart high-quality stainless steel system, complete with a black Berkey purification element, a generic sports bottle, and a nylon carrying case. The whole kit weighs a mere 2.25 pounds. With an expected element life of around 3,000 gallons, you can refill the Go Berkey system up to an incredible 12,000 times before needing to replace the element. The new Go Berkey kit is perfect for backpacking, hiking, emergency packs, bug-out bags, international travel, car emergency kits, or for your desk at home or at work. Get your Go Berkey kit today for only $139 by calling 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, the online store. It's a featured product.
Jenny, I want your feedback on this thing that the Obama administration did Wednesday this week. They said that they would no longer be supporting the Defense of Marriage Act because it's now been, in their estimation, been deemed unconstitutional. And the Obama administration has also allowed that the Justice Department will no longer support it. And for those of you that don't know what the Defense of Marriage Act is, it's a federal law defining marriage as a legal union between one man and one woman. Attorney General Eric Holder sent a letter to House Speaker John Boehner stating that Section 3 of the Defense of Marriage Act, as applied to same-sex couples who are legally married under state law, violates the equal protection component of the Fifth Amendment. That's a mixed bag, isn't it?
Well, first of all the amendments protect the lives of the life and liberty of individuals. So marriage is an issue between two people. It is not in regard to individuals. So right off the top, I would say that is an invalid argument. Second of all, I was hoping you were going to say that the Obama administration was claiming that the whole idea of marriage licensing and the federal government or state government authorizing two individuals to be married is outside the bounds of constitutionally restrained government. And I was going to be kind of excited. So I find it bizarre that the Obama administration from the White House declares what is and isn't law.
No, constitutionality, actually.
Or declaring constitutionality, isn't that kind of reserved to the Supreme Court whores?
Unfortunately.
Yeah, so aren't they kind of stepping outside their bounds? Even within the, I can't think of the word for this unlawful government.
Well, I can't either, but it's undoubtedly vulgar. The thing that I thought you were going to, and actually I had left the door open for the comment that you thought I was going to make. I had thought that we would have homed in on the fact that the entire involvement of the federal government, even in the matter, is beyond the scope of legitimate constitutionally oriented government. And the irony of having the Obama administration speaking as to the constitutionality of something that is beyond the scope of the Constitution, it's kind of one of those oxymorons, isn't it?
Exactly, Jerry. Exactly. And that's kind of why I roll my eyes at the even jellyfish of America up in arms about wanting a marriage amendment. I'm just like, y'all are like the children of Israel out in the desert begging Moses to take them back to slavery.
Yes, indeed.
It's outrageous. Indeed. If two people want to shack up and declare themselves married to their family, friends, and anyone else, that is their business. And it's none of yours. Now, if you, as a Christian, want to pray for them and witness to them, especially, you know, if it's two guys or two girls, or if it's a husband and wife in a marriage where there's abuse and, you know, all those kinds of things, that is a place for the church. That is the place for you as an individual to, if you feel it's your duty as a Christian, to share. But it is not for the legislatures of America to shape and mold us into a moral, upright people with their legislation.
I agree.
We could ever
agree that. Because we give up so much more when we give them that authority to do that, don't we?
Oh, we give up so much more. And the end does not justify the means. You know, people say, well, at least it'll do X, Y, and Z. Excuse me? Why do we ask for crumbs when the whole loaf of liberty is ours? I don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
And I think ultimately, and I was talking with my children about this morning, and we were talking about, you know, Jesus saying if we had the faith of a mustard seed, we could say to these mountains, rise up and throw yourself into the sea. And I said, you know, a lot of us just kind of discredit that as imagery, not real, not literal, but I think we're wrong in doing that because we so completely underestimate God and act without faith that we embrace partial efforts to advance justice. And there's no such thing as a partial justice. You cannot have it. And it's because we do not have eyes of faith and we don't have a determination that comes from a respect and a fear of God in upholding his law, and especially upholding the absolute right to life and liberty. And so we keep begging our legislators to be benevolent tyrants.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. You are absolutely right. And it's shameful. It's shameful that we've gotten so inured to having our liberty abused. And it's become SOP for most Americans, and that's just the way it is.
Oh, well. What do you mean by SOP?
Standard operating procedure.
Oh, sorry. That does seem a little bit obvious. Do you mind if I jump back into this raw milk story?
Oh, I thought you were done with it. Hit charge ahead.
Yeah, I think it's worth kind of going into a few more details. Here's one of the dangers. You know, I just want to throw this out there. When you're dealing with raw milk, you're dealing with a substance that is alive with enzymes. And in fact, you cannot use raw milk to culture yogurt or kefir because the enzymatic action will kill the culture strain. You actually have to pasteurize milk to some extent. You have to heat it to some extent to kill enzymes enough that the culture can take over. And if you have E. coli that gets into raw milk, the enzymatic action within the raw milk will kill the E. coli bacteria in under 2 hours. It simply cannot survive. And raw milk does not putrefy. If you leave it on the counter after a couple days, it separates and clabbers and becomes other healthful products to consume. If you try that with pasteurized or ultra-pasteurized milk, just setting it out on the counter, it will putrefy very quickly. The FDA wants to claim that raw milk cheese is dangerous, but the very data the FDA is using to make this claim clearly shows that contamination often happened after the production of the cheese, both in raw and pasteurized cheeses. In other words, both raw and pasteurized milk products can become contaminated after production. So it's not the actual production process that contaminates cheeses. And even the FDA's own research defends this. Despite this and other propaganda efforts to falsely demonize raw milk, consumer demand for the unpasteurized, unhomogenized farm fresh food continues to rise. And you guys have got to be careful when you're buying milk. I recently purchased some organic milk from Trader Joe's that was homogenized. And so my mom took it back. I didn't have time to take it back to the store. And I am going to contact Trader Joe's and reprimand them for selling milk product under the guise of milk. Homogenized milk is not milk. It is milk product. And Whole Foods also sells homogenized milk. And I complain about it every time I go into Whole Foods. I talk to the dairy guy and I complain about the fact that they're selling homogenized milk, which is a toxic, dangerous substance in that the food particles in the homogenized milk have been altered under high pressure, and the alteration is such that it will clog your arteries and store up in your body and lead to other problems. The rhetoric coming from the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the FDA, and various state health agencies and officials hell-bent on telling people what they can and cannot drink is losing ground to the simple grassroots efforts pushing for more raw milk freedom. In Texas, House Bill 75 and Senate Bill 237 would eliminate the restriction allowing raw milk sales only on the farm and instead allow them to take place at any other location where producers customarily sell their products directly to consumers, including a farmer's market, farm stand, flea market, food cooperative, or fair. Really exciting legislation. The Minnesota legislature is set to have a similar bill presented before it. Oregon's House Bill 2222, also known as the Family Farm Act, would expand the maximum herd limits for producers of raw milk in the state and would offer some tax and other exemptions to local farmers. New Jersey's Bill A-743, perhaps the most aggressive of all, would fully reverse the state's current ban on raw milk. Farmers who obtain a valid raw milk permit under a new state program and comply with testing requirements would be permitted to sell raw milk both directly to consumers and in retail stores. So this is yet further demonstration that the consumer is a powerful entity to deal in, and that we as consumers have immense power in taking back our food freedom. So I'll go use it.
Don't you find it troubling, though, dear, that we've got to go through the legislative process to get back something that's legitimately ours?
Yes.
Doesn't that bother you at all?
And it bothers me because people are so ignorant about their local authority and that they can go through the sheriff and make sure that they have a sheriff in their county that will not enforce and will protect the people from federal agents, FDA agents, and anyone else trying to intimidate them or make them abide by state or federal regulation. Mm-hmm. And people are so ignorant, Jerry, that there is a reality to getting this state legislation through that is unfortunate. I agree with you.
Okay. Have you heard about the story about the United States government contracting with a company by the name of H.B. Gary Federal for the development of software which could create multiple fake social media profiles in order to manipulate and sway public opinion on controversial issues by promoting propaganda through those social media outlets? Have you read anything?
No, but that sounds about right.
Well, the 6th Contracting Squadron at MacDill Air Force Base sought the development of, and I quote, persona management software, close quote, which could be used for creating and managing fake profiles on social media sites to distort the truth and make it appear as if there are or is a generally accepted agreement on controversial issues. The bid request included, and I quote, "Personas must be able to appear to originate in nearly any part of the world and can interact through conventional online services and social media platforms," close quote. What happened to don't lie in the Uniform Code of Military Justice? Everything revealed after anonymous leaked emails from private security firm HB Gary Federal is disturbing on many levels. However, the Daily Kos said that the persona management software would take very few people to create an army of basically what they termed sock puppets, which could distort the truth while appearing to be an entire Brooks Brothers riot online. Isn't that amazing that the federal government would have to be involved in that?
Yeah, Jerry, it's so... the insanity that's enveloping us is phenomenal. Hey, I got a kind of fun story, Jerry. You're going to get a real kick out of this, and I hope everybody get this information out to wherever you can. The DEA is moving to legalize THC in Big Pharma's pills while simultaneously making it illegal for anyone else to grow, sell, or possess THC. And of course, THC is that special little something in marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
The DEA is working to change the classification of THC from a Schedule 1 substance like street heroin to a Schedule 3 drug, which is pharmaceuticals. So if Big Pharma grows its own marijuana plants, extracts the THC, and puts it into a pot pill, those pills will be perfectly legal. They're already FDA approved, actually, when made with the synthetic version of THC. So,
what's the indicated usage of these products that they're paving the way for?
I don't know. This article didn't say. I would imagine. I don't know, Jerry.
Therapeutic or fun?
Oh, well, of course, therapeutic, Jerry.
Okay. Well, I thought there might have been a silver lining on the dark cloud.
The DEA put out this I'm sure you can convince your doctor to give them to you for fun. The DEA has received 4 petitions from companies that have products that are currently the subject of ANDAs, abbreviated new drug applications, under review by the FDA. While the petitioners cite that their generic products are bioequivalent to Marinol, their products do not meet Schedule 3 current definition provided above. Therefore, these firms have requested that 21 CFR 1308.13 be expanded to include naturally derived or synthetically produced dronabinol. The DEA's got their own website where you can read all this stuff too. And this is just kind of getting the information from the way they're putting it as to why it's acceptable to legalize pharmaceutical companies to use THC, but not the rest of us. And they go on to say, this proposed action expands the Schedule 3 listing to include formulations having naturally derived dronabinol and products encapsulated in hard gelatin capsules. This would have the effect of transferring the FDA-approved versions of such generic Marinol products from Schedule 1 to Schedule 3. So just so you can make total sense of this, the DEA's loopy logic is that since Marinol, an FDA-approved synthetic THC drug, is already recognized as a pharmaceutical, the DEA is saying that other generic drugs containing natural THC from marijuana plants can also be recognized as a pharmaceutical. What they fail to recognize is that even the synthetic THC is, of course, based on natural THC grown in marijuana plants. Thanks to the DEA and its twisted position on THC, your doctor can now become your drug dealer, and Big Pharma steps in to take over the manufacturing and distribution of drugs that have traditionally been handled by street criminals and Mexican drug gangs. It's a lot like Mexico, in fact. Armed enforcers, drug profits, turf wars, and so on. Except in the U.S., it's all legal under the monopolistic protection of the FDA, an agency that has always sought to protect Big Pharma's market monopolies.
Mm-hmm.
What's astonishing about all this is the DEA's insanity in saying that the very same chemical can be legal for corporations to sell you, but illegal for you to grow yourself. And this is an important thing to bring out when people are talking about legalizing marijuana. Marijuana is legal as long as it's only used by pharmaceutical companies to put into pills that you can purchase.
Yeah, Big Pharma can turn the profit on it. It's all good, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, you know, this whole debate, I think, is crazy all by itself, dear. Because if we look back, it took a constitutional amendment to give the federal government the power to outlaw alcohol in our country.
Yeah.
I don't know of any constitutional amendment that's been passed that gave the federal government the power to outlaw, control, regulate, or what tax even, pot.
Yeah.
You know, and for them to arbitrarily move into that sphere of influence and cashier on it like they have is just crazy. It really is just crazy. We ought to be screaming bloody murder. Hey, we're going to cut away to a break. We got a caller or two in the queue. When we come back, we'll get to you. Hang loose.
Are you still paying your credit cards and so-called bank loans thinking that you owe the money? Do you feel like it's your moral obligation but can't see an end in sight? Well, what if I told you that in truth, you don't owe a single penny and that the banks know this and hope you don't find out? Here's where we come in. Free2Prosper.com specializes in a profound debt repudiation method which challenges the validity of your so-called debts, morally frees you from the burdens, and protects your property. Our system is often superior to settlement, bankruptcy, or consolidation, which often leave you in a worse situation. If you feel the moral obligation to take care of yourself and your family, then I urge you to consider taking action right now. The economy will not wait. If you want to know more so you can prosper through the economic collapse, all while staying honorable and true to yourself, then call 877-417-8393. That's 877-417-8393. Or visit free2prosper.com right now.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Incorporated's patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, visit www.lasermedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasermedinc.com.
Call now, 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528.
We're back, and we do have, let's talk to Rodney in Illinois. Good afternoon, Rodney. Or good morning, Rodney. I'm trying to push the day through.
Good morning.
What you got for us today?
Boy, you sound so serious and sober, Rodney.
Well, I'm not very focused this morning. I was making a few notes, and got so many notes, I don't know where to start. On the subject of pot, a very good treatise on the law, the possession versus manufacture. Just do a search for beet growing pot charges. And there's a Scribd, on Scribd.com, there's a document by a guy named Lewis Ewing that explains exactly why they first have to charge you with manufacture and then charge you with possession. It's not possession that you have to beat. You have to beat their presumption that you have manufactured it. The manufacture, you know, process is apparently what they claim to license or not license.
Really?
Very, very.
And you say this is on Scribd?
Yes. Yeah, just do a regular start page search for beet growing pot charges, and it's very interesting reading. I'll let the reader determine for himself the merit of it. Have you ever heard of a guy named Tullius Cicero?
You talking about the old Roman?
Yeah, I don't know who he was, but I've got a little quote here, circa 50 BC, that I've always wanted to share this on the air, and it's a couple of sentences long, and y'all might get a good laugh out of it.
Yeah, share.
And this is Tullius Cicero.
Cicero, yes. He's talking about bureaucrats. All right, quote, "A bureaucrat is the most despicable of men. Though he is needed as vultures are needed, but one hardly admires vultures whom bureaucrats so strangely resemble. I have yet to meet a bureaucrat who is not petty, dull, almost witless, crafty or stupid, an oppressor, a thief, a holder of little authority in which he delights, as a boy delights in possessing a vicious dog. Who can trust such a creature?" I didn't know they had bureaucrats back then. I guess they're like the third oldest profession.
Rodney, there's no new evil under the sun.
How do you like that?
I love it.
It's yeah, great. And they killed him a few years after that, I think, didn't they?
That sounds about right.
On the subject of civil magistrate.
Yes.
Is a bureaucrat considered a civil magistrate?
Not in my estimation.
Not in my estimation either.
Okay, well, that's very good. Well, according to the Westminster Confession chapter on the civil magistrate, I'm just curious, where are the administrative state and the plethora of bureaucrats fall in that equation?
I like where your mind travels, Rodney.
I do too. I just I don't get a chance to talk to too many people. And
well, don't go anywhere. This is just getting exciting. I love it, love it, love it. This is a Frenzied Friday where anybody can call in and talk about whatever they want. And Rodney's discussing the Westminster Confession and I guess interposition and the civil magistrates where we're going. This is Freedom Frenzy. We're going to cut away to a break. Y'all stay with us.
The next